The U.S. now has 6.2 million confirmed cases of coronavirus, the highest number of any country, and nearly 189,000 deaths. It's a pandemic that's devastating families, communities, changing our lives, our work, our cities. And our next guest is watching what may change with an eye to history and the fact that though it's hard to realize now, great innovations have come from past disasters. Derek Thompson is staff writer at The Atlantic. He joins us from Washington, as he does every Monday. And Derek, your article is titled, Get Ready for the Great Urban Comeback. Hard to imagine now, but after the Great Chicago Fire, for instance, the paper had the headline, Cheer Up. So remind us what you found.
Yes. So I was doing some research a few months ago on the way that cities have responded to calamities. And I read about an earthquake in Lisbon in 1755. And it was such a destructive earthquake that it caused Enlightenment thinkers to totally change the way they thought about civilization. I mean, truly just this absolute urban catastrophe. But it had this interesting side effect. It caused some of the engineers of the late 18th century to begin to rebuild by understanding how earthquakes worked. And really, the first earthquake-resistant buildings ever were built after the Lisbon earthquake of 1755.
Okay, let's talk about some other examples. You write about the cholera epidemic in 1832 in Great Britain. Just horrendous. It just cut a swath through the population there. But what changes were made?
So this cholera epidemic got so bad that the government asked this public health official named Edwin Chadwick to write a report about what was going on throughout England in these industrial cities. And the report was so damning that it caused the English government to essentially pass the first public health laws in the history of Western government. Many public health historians now think that the birth of modern progressive governance, everything that's given us Social Security and Medicare and in other countries universal health care, came from the seed of this ethnography that was written in the 1830s about the cholera epidemic.
Yeah, well, and it was the Great Chicago Fire of 1871 that killed hundreds, 300, I think, burned 20,000 buildings. The whole city was pretty much built out of wood. It was a tinderbox. It was devastating. And it was right after that that the Chicago Tribune had that huge editorial headline, Cheer Up, because the paper said, we will rise again. Rise, they invented the skyscraper.
It's just unbelievable what happened in Chicago. They rebuilt the city in a few years, and they didn't just rebuild. The fact that you had burning embers on the ground in an otherwise rich city attracted a lot of engineers and architects to Chicago who said, how can we fit more building on the same plot of land? And they used new steel skeleton construction technology to build the largest buildings in the world, buildings so tall that by the 1880s, they had to coin a new term to describe how tall these buildings were. That term was skyscraper.
Well, then there's the blizzard in New York City of 1888. 50 inches of snow shut down the entire city. There was a thinking that, you know, how could a city survive this? Because all the technology was above ground. Talk about the changes after that.
Right. So New York in the 1880s had a train system, but it was an elevated train system like Chicago's today. And they just suffered this horrendous blizzard that entirely shut down the city in 1888, destroyed New York, destroyed Boston. And the city leaders at the time said, we are building too many of our electrical wires and our infrastructure above ground. And so the 1888 blizzard gave rise directly to the creation of the New York City subway and the Boston subway, the first subway in U.S. history, and also caused these cities to bury their electrical wires, which ended up improving the ability to electrify the city.
Look, you're quick to point out that there are a lot of disasters that don't make change. Hurricane Katrina comes to mind, some incremental changes there, but not huge ones. And you quote someone who says, if some of these catastrophes had happened only in poor parts of a city, as opposed to shutting down a whole city in most cases, there might not have been a reaction. But bringing us forward to COVID-19, you also remind us that what spurs this change a lot of the time is a realization that we all are interdependent. What do you think might come out of COVID-19?
I think that one thing that this disease has done is demonstrate how inextricably bound up we are. If one person gets sick, they can spread that disease to strangers. So what does that mean for public policy? Well, I think, you know, initially when people were talking about things like universal health care, you know, paid parental leave, those were thought of as giveaways. but maybe seen through the lens of COVID-19, you see that these are actually measures of public health and national security. Because the parents that we're allowing to stay home with the kids, the sick people that we're allowing to stay home from work, the lower income people that we're giving universal health care to, they're a part of the network that includes us. And their health is our health. I think that is a lesson of COVID-19. And I hope it's a lesson that American leaders remember, just as civic city leaders have remembered lessons in the history of urban catastrophe in America.
It'll be interesting to see what happens post-COVID-19. Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic, thanks as always.
Thank you.